Good morning. Good morning. It is Saturday, July 25th. Summer's over. Nah, not really. I think it's only going to be in the 1,000 degrees today instead of 2,000 degrees, so maybe the seasons are changing. I don't know. No, it's a beautiful day. Coming through a hot spell. Oh, I know it's cooler. I woke up this morning, the air conditioner wasn't running. That's a good sign. I was thinking, usually I don't podcast on the weekends, or at least don't do this podcast on the weekend, but we got a lot of people podcasting, had to shuffle around the schedule a little bit. So I had a little time this morning. I thought I would sit down and share some thoughts that I've been gathering. I'm starting to believe, after all these years, that I might be the problem. It's me. I think that, first of all, shout out to Randy Rhoads right there. Get it, son. The man. Had a whole conversation about Randy Rhoads and Eddie Van Halen. You know, that song right away takes me back to like eighth grade, when it all began. You know, and if you were a Randy Rhoads fan or you were an Eddie Van Halen fan, I was a huge Eddie Van Halen fan. My friends were all Randy Rhoads fans. You know. Wasn't anything to fight about, but it was definitely a lot of great conversation. Yeah, so I was thinking, I've been sober for a while. You know, I like to point out the day that I got sober, March 31st, 1997. It's not the last time that I had a drink, but it was a beginning. You know, I think a lot of people get caught up in this time bullshit and this coin bullshit, which is important. You know, it is. I mean, it's important if that's what's important to you. If you've been married 10 years, but it's the shittiest 10 years, or if you've been married 1 year, but, you know, you've really grown and learned to have a relationship, You know, I'm not sure what's more important. To me, quality over quantity. But I had to go through those beginning years to get to the point where I'm at today. I think when you think of a 12-step program or any type of recovery program, I think the whole point of it is to be able to kind of live the rest of your life and not have to use a substance. You know, no matter how long it takes you to get there. I mean, shit, I remember my first meeting. I must have been 14 years old. So, I mean, that process of getting to where I'm at today started 35, 36 years ago. It's not an easy path. I clearly had no desire to get sober when I was 14, but March 31st, 1997, I wanted to stop getting my ass kicked and stop having problems because of alcohol. At the time, I thought my life was unmanageable. But, you know, you work at it, you show up. I mean, I was, you know, I usually start getting some ideas for a podcast when I'm laying in bed and reflecting. And, you know, I reflect back from to 1997, you know, I made a meeting every day. You know, I grew up, I live in a town which is very, you know, a small town. And there is a meeting, or at least before this whole COVID thing started, there was a meeting every night here in this town. When in March 31st, 1997, there wasn't a meeting every night in this town. AA was strong. It just wasn't big. Not AA in general, but AA in this area. I mean, we had, you know, where I went to the hospital, where I checked into the hospital and spent five nights or six nights hiding, that hospital provided a meeting on Tuesdays, on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Four nights out of the week, that hospital provided a meeting. And that meeting is what came up to the fifth floor where I was staying and asked me if I wanted to come to a meeting. That's what, you know, AA was about, you know. Visiting rehabs, visiting jails. A little white feather just landed outside on the ground in front of my window. That's interesting. It's like a freaking Forrest Gump moment. But, you know, there was a lot of meetings, and I jumped right in and worked on it and went to, I remember the Ron M. said, you know, you do need to do a 90 and 90. I'm like, what the hell is that? 90 meetings in 90 days. I was like, okay. And I went, and I did it. And we used to get in the car, and we used to drive up to a different town because there wasn't a meeting on that night, and we'd have that meeting in the car on the way up, socialize after the meeting and before, and then on the way back, almost another meeting. It's almost like 2.5 meetings in one night. And, you know, reprogramming my behavior, watching other people, allowing other people to be an example. I was such a fucking open slate. I was such a mess when March 31st, 1997, such a mess. I was such a fucking sponge, man. And just hanging out with those people and just trying to, you know, learning what it's like to just shake hands with somebody that's not, you know, giving me drugs or wanting drugs or you know, being friendly with the guy selling me the vodka. These were like real honest guys and girls, but mostly guys in a relationship all surrounded by trying to get sober. And you work on it and you do the steps and, you know, you get better. You get better. You take three steps forward and then, you know, you do something. You know, all my character defects, god damn, you know, they would come popping up and there was always somebody in the program to point them out and make me feel about an inch tall and promise to myself that I would never do that again. And just learning about, you know, the role that I play. You know, March 30th, 1997, it was everybody else's fault but mine. March 31st, 1997, it was everybody else's fault but mine. And day by day, I started to understand the role that I played. And, you know, it was kind of an eye-opening experience, kind of a painful experience. You know, there's a lot of fun in sarcasm. There's a lot of fun in, you know, making fun of people. There's a lot of fun in blaming other people. And when you start being exposed, you know, the gig is up and you start realizing, you know, fucked up I am. And I start having to fix it. You know, there's some, I wouldn't call it as much as a fun, but there's some relief knowing that I don't need to do that. Or when I do that, I can clean that up or make an amends. It's not as fun, but there's some serenity to it. You know, the role that I play, becoming accountable. You know, the night, March 31st in 1997, when I got punched in the face, I was a victim. A victim. Can't believe that guy did that. You know, it's so, that night was so interesting because, and if you're an alcoholic or you know an alcoholic, then you will understand this story. It's, I mean, I think last call was 1 in the morning, maybe 12. Maybe 11. I don't even remember when last call was. But I remember last call and I needed two drinks. I was fucking hammered and I needed two drinks. I needed two drinks. Give me two. And I didn't get my way. And for some reason, getting those two drinks was the most important thing in my life at that moment. It was like being told I was getting a raise or I was actually going to get a great job. I mean, it was that important. And when it didn't happen, I was so disappointed. I was such a victim that I did what I did best, which was become a complete belligerent asshole. Running my mouth, fuck you, you know, fucking out. You know, because the guy's like, oh, sorry, last call's over. I got no drinks. Fucking asshole, you know, I got to be this fucking total jerk face, which I was so good at. I mean, underneath this layer of person is an asshole, a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. You know, I can put the nice thin layer of fucking, you know, fake frosting on the top that makes me look better, but underneath, that's what I am. And that's all that came out. Fuck you, there's a bunch of bullshit. And then out of nowhere, something hit me. I don't know who, I don't know what, and I don't know what with. But I got hit. And the funny thing about it is, I can't blame anybody. You know, even in that addiction, I'm a victim, right? I'm a victim. Who did this? You know, and that's not, that, whatever hit me, knocked the fucking sense right into me because I dropped down to my knees. Like weird things, all a series of weird events, but, you know, last call, running my mouth, getting hit in the face, splitting my lip, dropping to my knees, and then everything going into slow motion. And when I look back at it, I think about how all the feelings, like, because I remember looking at the floor, blood pouring out of my mouth, but everything was like in a slow motion, blood pouring out of my mouth. I'm like on all fours, and I look to my right, and the bartender, who was my bartender friend, you know, he was my friend. He really just put up with my nonsense, but he took my money. And I remember looking over and him coming to me and me thinking, he's going to help me. That's my friend. He's going to come help me. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. And he walked over and he picked me up and he walked me to the door. And he tossed me outside onto the street. Thanks for the help, right? Why the fuck would he help me? I don't see, and that's the thing, that, you know, that guy, I don't think he hit me. He wasn't the guy that I was asking for the drinks from. It was another bartender. I don't think he hit me. I don't know who hit me. I can't blame anybody. I can't find anybody to blame. But years later, I would start to understand, oh, I might be the problem. And you can't get better. My sponsor at the time, or not at the time that happened, but my sponsor, Matt, you know, he's like, as long as you're a victim, you're never going to get better. And I was like, well, I am a victim. I got punched. I was assaulted. I assaulted. I was the assaulter. I got what I deserved. And, you know, thank God for that happening. It's very strange, the desire for me. And I'm sure this is just like, this is probably for everybody. You know, when I drank 5 years later, the day before I drank, I had no desire to drink. You could wave a bottle of vodka in front of my face. I'd be like, no, thank you. I am sober. Actually, I was struggling, but I had gotten away from the program. I'd started to start run my own show. I became the boss. I started to become a victim again. I started to lose accountability. And that day, the day before I drank, I was fine. I mean, I waddling around in mud, but still, like, I'm good. That voice showed up. You deserve it. You've done great. Look how great you've done. And, oh, by the way, they don't run the meetings like you like here in this new town. Why don't we try a drink of vodka? The next day, I could not stop the obsession. The obsession was back, and it was worse than ever. And I was hiding bottles by the end of the week. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. He's like, a year into sobriety. He's like, I feel great. My dad's like, he looks fantastic. I go, yeah, that's what happens, man. We put down the bottle, you know, the bloat goes away. Our health comes back. Our mind gets clear. But every day, since the day that I got punched, that embarrassment, that shame, the humiliation, the devastation. Ego devastation equals humiliation. That's where shit gets changed. That's when options become available. All of a sudden, I think I might want to quit. But every day since that day isn't as bad. I've shared this before in this podcast. You know, that day I was mortified. How was I going to explain these stitches again? How could I do this? Where can I hide? And I wouldn't really, I wouldn't realize all that until, you know, years into being working on sobriety. But every day, you know, that a little bit of that pain, that shame, the humiliation, the devastation fades a little. You start to live with it. You start to live with it, and the memories fade. And, you know, and if you'd asked me the next day what happened, I probably would have broken into tears. I was just so fucking raw and open and exposed, and self had been slapped down and put into a drawer, and I was just, you know, I was ready. But, you know, over the days and times and years, self starts poking its eyes out of the drawer. What's up? What's up, dog? And self shows up. That wasn't that bad. I can't even remember how many stitches I had in my lip. I remember my lip was split from my nose hole all the way down. I felt it with my tongue, and I was like, oh, God, that's fucking bad. This isn't a Band-Aid situation. This is stitches. But, you know, ask me 5 years later. Ask me 10 years later. March 31st, 1997 was 24 years ago, something like that. I don't even know. You know, that time takes time. Time takes time to also forget. Then it's all of a sudden not that bad. You know, life gets better. You know, like I told my friend the other night, alcohol is going to show back up, bro. Something's going to show up. You got to be ready. And 5 years later, I was not ready. But, you know, I drank. I did what I did. Finally got sober again. They always say, you know, if you've been sober, you know your drinking will never be the same, and that's very true. I mean, when I started drinking again, all I could think about was AA, and I've surrounded myself with AA through these years, so now I'm like talking to people from the program, and they can immediately tell when I'm back in the game, out of my mind, a fucking victim, everybody's fault. You know, dry drunk. You see it all the time. Maybe you're not picking up, or maybe you're not drinking, but you're not humble. You know, you're not being accountable. And that's the word. I could probably start a podcast, just call it accountable, and talk about that every day. It'd be very boring, but, you know, that's what it ends up being. How am I being accountable? Or is it everybody else's fault? You know, and over the years, you know, you get better. And, you know, I climbed that mountain, the sober mountain. And then you get to the top, you know, you work the steps, you do everything. And then I seem to, like, run around the tip of the mountain and just make more problems for myself. You know, are you ever better? At some point I said, you know, I'm recovered. I know, I've read, I've experienced, I've discussed everything in sobriety. I am recovered. If I choose to drink or behave any differently, that's completely my fault, not the program. I've been taught everything I need to know. I've been taught that when this shows back up, and you know, the path to me getting to this point right now has been bumpy and crazy, but important. I've been learning everything that I need to learn. When this starts happening, this is probably because of this, or I'm not getting my way, or I wish this was this, and if I really want that, it isn't because, you know, I'm a victim. It's because I haven't worked hard enough, or I haven't done something. And by the way, why do you even want that in the first place? What's that about? You know, I recently had someone that was part of my life, and you know, this person is always having issues. And when they have issues, then it becomes my issues. And this person is always a victim. And I can't stand it. Zero accountability. It's this person's fault. It's this person's fault. It's this person's fault. And I, you know, one of the things about getting sober and working a 12-step program is all you can do is see that shit. Sometimes I think that takes the fun out of life. I'm like, oh, well, this person's clearly an addict of some sort, whether it's, you know, money, drugs, alcohol, whatever. But something's going on. They have zero accountability, blah, 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 whatever. I'm tired of analyzing people. I just know that it's fucking with my serenity. Save the stories. My wife tells me, you're not the guy to tell a story to. I'm not. Save your story. Tell me what the situation is. Cut the bullshit and let's figure it out. But I'm tired of wasting my brain and thinking about your bullshit. I just separate myself from those people. I'm always, always available for anybody that ever wants to get help. I just somehow I've lost the patience to put up with people that act like they want help, but in the inside or they really don't. Gets old. You know, my friend Carlos. You know, he's one of my best friends, and he is not. You know, he's not an addict. He's not a drug alcoholic. He's nothing. He's just a guy. You know, for so long, I've only had friends that are in the program. You know, we're kind, we're thoughtful, we don't hurt each other's feelings, we're not sarcastic, we're not having to analyze one another. You know, but then you have my friend like Carlos, and he's, you know, sarcastic, and, you know, it's fun. You know, we joke. We hurt each other's feelings a little bit. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. He can handle it. I told him I spent the last 25 years trying to stop that behavior, and now I've met a friend of mine who is just such a great guy. We have, you know, we're big Pearl Jam fans. We have a podcast, a Pearl Jam podcast. I mean, he's just an amazing friend. Sarcastic as hell, points out my flaws, and I'm all right with it. You know, I don't need to say, hey, man, what happened as a child? What, you know, what's got you to this point where you got to, you know, make fun of me? But I don't care. You know, when I first got sober, I hung out with people that like owned big businesses and, you know, and had, you know, worked in education or whatever it was. And I thought, well, these people are like, you know, they're like, they play a role in the community. These are the people that I want to hang out with, and they're sober. This must mean that I'm a better person. And some of these people are fucked up. It's time for me to start using the tools that I've learned from this program and start living the life and finding some serenity. And that's what I do today. And I'm super grateful for that. I'm very blessed today, you know. My life isn't perfect, but I'm still working on it. Yep, so I hope everyone's having a great day. You know, one day at a time. Time takes time. I love all the phrases, all the sayings. They're important. Time takes time. Quality over quantity. Quality over quantity. That's a big deal. Anyway. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Stay cool.